Happy Valentine's Day to everybody here today. The scars of life. That's the theme of my my exhortation this morning. The scars of life. Sounds quite a vicious topic. But the idea is that the scars of life leads us to perfect love. It's interesting, when I was a young folk, I was brave or foolish, as you might say, and it was my mom's birthday, and we lived on a road that had a hill, and I had a new skateboard, and I thought I was, invincible, and so we started at the bottom and slowly made my way higher up the hill, skating down. And I got to the very top and I thought, well, I was brave. But I didn't know that God had put little stones in the road. As I was hurtling down, I managed to acquire one of these little stones on the front wheel, and I went head over heels and landed, and that broke my arm. And so it was cracked like this, and I went inside. And my mom was at that stage, we were just about to go off to my grand, so I thought, myself busy skateboarding, palmless exercise. And she was carrying my grand's beautiful birthday cake out to the car, and I come down the driveway with this nice broken, I think I've broken my arm. Anyway, she wasn't pleased to say the least, and I had to go through a number of operations actually, and today I still portray the scar in my arm, and you can see my arm has a bit of a kink to it, it's not quite straight, and I've got the scar to prove it with the various operations. And so that's a physical scar that I have, and I can see it every day, and it reminds me of certain things, and it teaches me certain lessons that I have. But I also have scars in my heart as well. I was a little boy, probably about 9 years old, and I had my pet cat, and I loved this thing. And one day, my mom came to me and she says, as I've just arrived home from school with my rucksack on and having a great time, and she says, I've got some sad news for you, Dave. Your cat was run over today, gone out into the road. And she had put it in the garage, all curled up, and I went over to it, and I was sad. I cried my eyes out as I hugged it and trying to bring it back to life, and I couldn't understand why God would do that to me. And it left a deep emotional scar in my heart. But it taught me that death is real. That death is real, and when you touch something that is dead, it is indeed lifeless. Absolutely lifeless and cold. But it taught me as well that through God, that is not the final state that we have to be. There's something better for us. And I have the emotional scar of my dad as well. His death, which he passed away in July last year. The excruciating pain of watching him slowly wither away as Alzheimer's got him. And it wasn't instant, but it dragged out. And how it affected my mom. And then her eventually, as his caregiver, acquired stomach ulcers through the stress and strain, and eventually she ended up in intensive care. So we all carry these scars, be they physical, be they on our heart, be they emotional or psychological, they're there. Come with me to Genesis chapter 32. Jacob carried many scars. Remember, he was a young man like myself. He was invincible, he thought. He went in and robbed his brother of his own birthright. He tricked his dad and lied to his dad and managed to connive and get the birthright passed over to him. And he went away with his heart pumped up, thinking that he could actually conquer the world, so to speak. And God molded him and turned him around and brought him to this point. But what we notice in this point here that we're going to read is how that God wrestles with people and gives them scars to actually teach them the bigger life and how we take things forward. Jacob 32, Genesis 32, and we pick up the narrative in verse 24 as Jacob is wrestling with the man, or wrestles with God and the angel. And Jacob was left alone and wrestled the man until the break of day. You know, sometimes we're like that as well, aren't we? Sometimes we are left alone, and at night we toss and turn. We wrestle and wrestle and wrestle with ourselves and with God. We talk to Him, we pray to Him, and He just does not seem to give us the blessings that we are wanting. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched him at his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. So Jacob received a scar as he wrestled with God. And so have we. As we wrestle with God day in and day out, we have our scars. And we can look on our own lives and say, God has touched us. God has given me scars. God has given me a weak hip. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And isn't that our conversation that we have with God so many times in the middle of the night? Why has this happened to me? Can't you take it away from me? Can't you make it better? Can't you change my life? Can't you bring this about? Why did that happen to that person? Why, when I pray for it, why does it not happen? Why does that blessing not happen to that person, or to me, or to that person over there? And so we ask for that blessing from God, just as Jacob did. And he said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." So when God asks us, "What is our name?" Our name is Jacob to God, isn't it? And what does Jacob mean? It means supplanter. The one who wants to take over. And that's exactly what we want to do, isn't it? We want to be in control. We want to take over. We want to take the birthright. And we want it for ourselves. And so we lie to our brothers. We lie to our sisters. We lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves. We want that birthright. And we will do almost anything for those blessings to come into our lives. So our name is Jacob. God asks us, "What is your name?" And we reply to God, "Our name is Supplanter." Then he said, "Your name shall be no more Supplanter." So this is God speaking to us. "But Israel." So God gives us a new name. We're the spiritual Israel, isn't it? We've been called Israel. And what does Israel mean? Struggling with God. Or God perseveres. And that's what He's done in our life, isn't it? God is looking at our lives, and even though we are the supplanter in God's eyes, God is saying, "I'm persevering in your life. I'm giving you the limp. I'm giving you the scar. Whether it's on physically or in your body or in your mind. And together, I will persevere with you to bring you to that other side, to bring you to that kingdom that I have with you." Verse 29, then Jacob said to him, "Please tell me your name." So this is Jacob speaking to God. But he said, "Why? What is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place of that place Peniel. And what is that place? What does Peniel mean? Face to face with God. I've seen God face to face. And how many times have we struggled and seen God face to face? We pray so intensely that we have God in our room with us, and we struggle with God by saying, "Bless us in this situation." And what does God do with us? He gives us the limp. He perseveres with us. And as the sun rose, so each morning we rise. Verse 31, and the sun rose upon him, and he passed Peniel. limping because of his hip. And so our scars are our limbs. And God perseveres in our lives, even though we struggle day and night. And sometimes for years, it's not just a day, it's not just a night, but sometimes it's years that we seek a particular blessing, or something, or a cure to happen to somebody, or for poverty to be taken away. But we are scarred in this life so that we may be whole in the life to come. God is prepared to take the eye, one eye away from us. Why walk into the kingdom? Or why have two eyes in this kingdom? Let's ask for the limp. Let's ask for the one eye to be removed so that we will be blessed into the future. And Jacob, in his life, you can see he had many times where God touched his life and gave him, in inverted commas, a new limb. He wanted Rachel in 7 years. God said, no, your walk was 14 for Rachel. And so sometimes we ask for things to be done in a week, in a year, in 7 years, and God says, no, I'll give you the limb. Your blessing comes in 14 years. And that's a lesson that we have to learn. And it's hard for us, because sometimes we don't like those lessons. Jesus had scars, didn't he? He had scars on his hands and his feet. And he asked us to touch him. Come and touch my scars, Jesus said. How often have we actually reached out and touched them? Touch Jesus' scars. We constantly bring our scars to God, but really do we have that tenderness to touch Jesus's? And he carried the emotional scars as well. Come down from the cross, they taunted him. If you're the God, come down. He saved others, he cannot save himself. What an emotional scar to bear for Jesus. That as he internalized that taunting. And sometimes we take verbal scars, don't we? When people say a little sarcastic comment to us, a little jab here or there, we carry those verbal scars. So did Jesus. He carried those emotional scars that we have as well. He saw his mother as he was hanging up there, down at his feet. He would have given anything to be able to hug his mother at that stage and give her comfort. And what about the psychological scars? Sometimes we are stripped in our minds of psychological torture as we turn things over and push things backwards and forwards. And that's exactly the scars that would have been in Jesus' mind. As he, in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweated drops of blood with the psychological warfare going on in his mind as he wrestled with not my will, but God's will. And how many times do we wrestle as well? But often the case is that we want the blessing. And Jesus knew at that stage in the Garden of Gethsemane that he had to receive the scars of that psychological torture and the scars of the cross and the scars of being dead for 3 days to be brought back to life. The question for us is, do we accept those as part of our scars of our life? That as we walk through those steps like Jesus walked, we will have that newness of life. So we've been baptized, haven't we? We've been baptized into those scars of Jesus. Just as he was 3 days in the earth. So we have been brought into that baptismal space. And just as he was given eternal life, so that we know that our scars that we have will bring us through to eternal life. And why? Because we have the faith, hope, and love. Those are the things that remain. We need to let go and let faith. So often we want the blessing now. We want to control the outcomes. Peter said, we have fished all night. I've been controlling it all night. I've been wrestling all night in this space. And yet he had to learn to let go and listen to Jesus. Cast your net on the other side. Put your faith in me. Hope gives us upliftment. It's a positive space, hope. It makes us look into the future, because the future contains that ultimate purpose where we know that we will have eternal life with God. And love conquers all, doesn't it? It doesn't matter about the scars that we carry. It doesn't matter about the scars that Jesus carried. He knew that the love of God conquered all and would take him out of that suffering into that space of eternal life. We live in a free will world. A world that carries suffering and a world that carries love. We don't live in a Sims game or a Game of the Thrones where we can actually just press the restart button and the people that were shot and were killed immediately come to life. We carry a free will world that is real. It carries pain. And that pain carries scars. And God has given us immense power to kill or to bring to life. Our hands can be the hands of death, or they can be the hands of friendship, an extension of love. They can point to something that is terrible or lead somebody astray, or they can point to what is right and true and correct. And we have the choice to do that. And God has given us that immense power to point others to faith, hope, and love. So as we remember our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we look to him and he says that the bread is his body with the scars given for us. And the wine, the poured out grace of looking forward to that beautiful time of love and friendship, when we know that our scars will be turned to eternal life. Amen.